are possible.
Only believe.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
All things are possible.
Lord, I believe.
Only believe. Lord, I believe.
How many are ready to receive the word?
Your prophet's signature song, and he said every time that he sang, the angel of the Lord will be present. And I believe that you are here today, the same angel that was in those meetings is here tonight, oh God. And I pray, just as you moved in the prophet's meetings, you'd move among us here this evening. And God, that through the medium of your precious word, that you would touch those that are sick and afflicted. Amen. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pronounce them healed. Amen. If there be any backslider, may you restore them. Amen. If there's any sick, oh God, may you heal them. Amen. If there's any lost, may you save them. Amen. If there's any in bondage, may you deliver them. Amen. If there's any hungry, may you feed them, oh God. Oh, precious Lord, we love you and appreciate you. And just thank you for this wonderful message that you sent our way. And we know, Lord, that we are not some voice somewhere, but we are just the echoes of a voice that has already spoken in this day. Lord, we don't claim anything upon ourselves except what you've placed in our hearts, O God. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think of a young man back in Newcastle, O God. O Father, I pray that you might touch him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, may you heal him and may you deliver him from those evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, may you heal him. Touch him, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us, we pray now. And bless us as we fellowship around thy word. Again, bless your fivefold ministry, O God, that you are using throughout the earth. May you bless your little bride that you've called, O God. May you bless your children Israel. And we ask for the peace of Jerusalem as you said we should. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, make yourself real among us again tonight. We thank you, dear Lord, for your grace and your mercy upon us. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We could turn again to Revelation 10. Amen. It was a wonderful message this morning. Amen. And it was so good to hear the pure word. Clean. Nobody's attacking you. Nobody's scolding you. And there's no stories being told. And just the word just flows like that. And it has to do something. Amen. And that's the way the word should be preached. And if I had my own way, I would let Brother Joseph take all the meetings. And I would just like to sit there and just soak that word in. And I say that sincerely because I told my son, he's pastoring a church in Durban. I said, if I ever move to Durban, I said, I will never preach one single day. I said, I'll just come over there, just sing with the saints, enjoy the presence. And when you preach, I just want that that word to just bathe my soul. It's such a joy just to sit and hear, especially when somebody's preaching sense. And if there's anything that upsets me is when somebody is preaching nonsense. When that word comes, it just blesses my soul. I just feel so good. Amen. And I just thank God for young men that He has called in this generation that is taking this message and preaching it the way it should be preached. Amen. Revelation 10, 1 to 4. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered the voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. You may be seated. And may the Lord Jesus be with us this evening. Thank you. Now I just want to be preaching on the coming of the Lord, because Brother Branham said that's what the seventh seal is. It is the coming of the Lord. So I'm just going to preach some random things, just trying to put some things together, and pray that God will help us to, that He would come and put the pieces together for us, that we may be able to see the picture complete. Now, Brother Branham said in the very last page of Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, he said, being spiritual now, he said, if you notice that clock, he said, exactly 2 o'clock. He said, the end of the second pull, the third pull is at end. And then he begins to sing a song, take the name of Jesus with you. And then he stops for a while. He said, did you notice the spirit? Take that song an octave higher. Not the song leader, not the musician. He said, the spirit took that song an octave higher. He said, the third pull is at end. Now, an octave is actually 8 notes.
Yes, sir.
You can ask the Skosanas, they know that. An octave is 8 notes. And an octave is also an interval or a rest between 2 notes.
Yes, okay. That's right, sir.
So, which means if the third pull is at hand, and Brother Branham said, watch how it's calling up an octave higher. It means that the third pull has called you out of the seventh into the 8th. And you know what? I don't want to criticize anybody, but we don't need discernment lines. We don't need that. We've gone beyond those things. This is the word becoming flesh in this day. Which means you can come home or come to church from your home. And you've had some kind of issue, some kind of problem. You never told your pastor or the minister.
Yes.
And then he stands here preaching the word of God and he addresses your problem right there.
Yes, sir.
Which means under the third pull, the word discerns you. And the gift that Brother Branham had comes only one in a generation. And therefore, the bride of Jesus Christ, she has thus saith the Lord. Or she keeps still. Now, thus saith the Lord is not the gift of prophecy. Thus saith the Lord is the word made plain in this hour. The bride has it or she keeps still. So if you notice how God has been approaching this great thing and showing us exactly our positional places. We're no more under the seventh, we're into the eighth. We now enter the third pool, the ministry which has opened up the scriptures. And the whole Bible has become a new book to us. And God has begun to unveil His very mind to you. This is not the intelligence of a man, but this is the mind of Christ. So God has been mindful of doing these great things in this hour. And if you notice, Jesus had a public ministry. When he went to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and in the marketplaces, in the synagogues, he would debate with the lawyers and the scribes and all of those things. So that was a public ministry. But when the word was crucified, and on the morning after the Sabbath, when the sun arose, ushering a new day, there was not a public ministry anymore. Now it became a private ministry. He never went back to the marketplaces. He never went back to the Pharisees. He never went and argued doctrine with anybody. But the Bible said he appeared unto the apostles. He appeared unto his disciples. Amen. So the ministry had changed from public to private. And Brother Branham's ministry was exactly the same. There was a public ministry when the churches were saying, the Bible days are here again. But there came a time when the doors closed. And that ministry became private only to the elect. And look at the things he had done in the private ministry. Look at what Jesus had done in the time he walked with those disciples on the way to Emmaus. He was the great seventh seal, walking with them, and they were despondent. They didn't know what was going on. It felt like the world had fallen apart for themselves. It seems like, what are they going to testify? The testimony was ruined. They went and told people about this great prophet of Galilee, Jesus, and now he's in a tomb. So they had to go back home. What are they going to tell the people? And while they were thinking on these things, the seventh seal joined them and began to walk with them. And what did he do? He never told them, I am this one, I am that one. He just began to open up the scriptures concerning himself. And when he did begin to do that, they began to get heartburn. But they kept on walking and he kept on talking. They were just listening and seeing the mind of God being unveiled. And when they got into the home, and Brother Bram said he was making as if he was going to go by, but God is a gentleman, you need to invite him. And so when they called him in and he sat at the head of the table without being asked, and then he took the bread and he began to break it, and the manner in which he broke the bread, it opened their eyes. He never had to prove anything. He never had to tell them anything. He never had to put quotes together. But the manner in which he broke the bread opened their eyes.
Yes, sir.
And I believe that God has a ministry in the last days. A true fivefold ministry that will be able to break the bread of life, that will open the eyes of your understanding. And those ministers will not become personalities and make themselves big and make you say, you must listen to my tapes and I'm the one that got all the answers. There's no such a ministry as that. Amen. The fivefold ministry just picks up what the prophet of God told, and they will ride this trail one more time and bring the tent vision into manifestation in the bride. What happened to Mary? When she saw him, she didn't know who he was. She thought he was a gardener. But he was there. The very risen word. The resurrected word was right there. And she didn't recognize him. Which means in this dispensation, the revelation is not after the flesh. He never showed no nail scars. Amen. He appeared in another way to her. The Bible said he came in another form. And when she saw him, she called him sir. And when he spoke to her, he said, woman, what is it to you? What are you looking for? He said, sir, where have you laid his body? I've come to bury or to embalm the God of history. Amen. But he lifted himself out of history. And then all he said to her, he never said, I am Jesus. He never said, you know what? What did I tell you before? All he said was, Mary. And the manner in which he called her name opened her eyes, which means in this private ministry, God has been calling your name. Not that the book does not say Armand Neville or Lee Vale will be such and saved in such and such a church age, but a mystery goes forth, and you by faith catch that mystery, and that is God calling your name. What made you respond to this message? You've been trying to tell other people. You've been trying to witness to your family, to your friends. And you try until you're blue in the face. They don't see a thing. But what caught your attention? It was the manner in which he called your name. And Brother Branham said, our names were under those seals. So which means when the seals opened, it called the bride. You see, the mystery on the inside of the book is the bride. Horse riders were on the outside, but you on the inside of the book, which means when God opened up that seal, he opened you up. He unveiled you. He brought forth the relationship that God was going to have with his wife. Notice, brothers and sisters, when he appeared in that room that day, when everything was shut, the doors were shut. Now notice, this is the private ministry. This is the ministry after the resurrection. Amen. And remember, in the last days, the Word was crucified again a second time. And when the Word was crucified again a second time, there was a resurrection too, because he declared it is the rising of the sun. So which means it's now brought forth a private ministry to call a bride to himself. Not public no more. The public are saying all kinds of things, falling on the wayside, doing whatever they want to. But there is a bride that is holding on to all of these promises. Hallelujah. And she doesn't care what other people are saying, because she knows who she is. And Thomas said to the disciples, when they said, we have seen him, and he said, no, no. I will not believe until I see the nail prints in his hand and the wound in his side. That's debatable. A conjecture maybe. Did he really show his nail prints? Did he really show a wound on the side? What kind of body was he in? But you see, he knew what Thomas's problem was. Amen. And when he entered into the room, he never addressed anybody else. He spoke directly to that one man who had a problem. And he said, Thomas, come and see the nail prints. Come and feel the wound in the side. And he said, be not faithless, only believe. You see, if it was physical, he would not say, be not faithless. So you see, God caught his mind and began to replace the mind of man with the mind of Christ. And then Thomas was able to bow down and say, my Lord and my God. A few days later, he was on the seashore. They had just seen him a few days ago. Now, when they were in the boat fishing, the Bible said they did not know it is the Lord, but they saw him a few days ago. Again, the revelation of this time is not physical. We don't know Jesus after the flesh. We've entered into that soul realm. Amen. And we know him by the revelation of the word in this day. And notice, You remember when Satan said to him, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. That's what Satan said, if thou be. You see, he knew. Because Brother Branham said, Satan knows the plan of God and he tries to get ahead of God. That's what he said in the church ages. And Satan knew that God said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. He knew that Isaiah said, unto you a child is born and a son is given. He knew a virgin child. He knew those things. But he wasn't sure whether it was really this one. So if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, because the Son of God will be able to do that. And Brother Branham said, God will not clown for the devil. But my question is this. On the seashore that day, where did he get the bread from? Did he go to a supermarket somewhere? You know what? I like to believe. Don't say this is Brother Steve's doctrine. I like to believe that he turned those stones into bread on the seashore. And he called them, come and dine. And you know what? He said to them, have you caught any? Is there any meat, my children? They said, no. He said, cast your nets on the other side. Professional fishermen who knew the sea from back to front. But they did not argue. There was something about that voice this time. The other time, before the crucifixion, before the resurrection, when he said, cast your net on the other side, they said, but we fished all night. But now in the private ministry, after the resurrection, no argument. They cast their net on the other side, and they caught so many fish. And then John said, it is our Lord. What made him believe the manifestation of the spoken word of God? You know what? I believe there was no fish there. There was no fish, because they fished there. They threw their nets there. There was nothing. But I believe when he spoke the word, the spoken word created the fish there. And they were able to bring that fish in. And then John immediately said, it's our Lord, which means they knew it was him by the manifestation of the spoken word. This is what the new ministry is doing. This is the private ministry of Christ in the bride today, the manifestation of the spoken word of God. The manner in which he breaks the bread, the way that he called your name, the way he discerns you by the word, to tell you exactly what your problem is.
Yes, sir.
Now, Brother Branham was demonstrating one time when he was preaching the seals. He said the seals were like scrolls like that. He said, now, here's one seal. Then he takes another piece of paper. You read that in the seals book. He said, there's another one out there. Another seal. Then he takes another one, and he said, there's another one. That's one out there. So notice how he goes from the first one. He goes on and on and on. Which one was on the outside? The seventh seal on the outside. Now, how are you going to know what's inside? You got to break the seventh seal first. So which means, the opening of the seventh seal revealed the mysteries of all the other seals. And the opening of the seals is the coming of the Lord. And notice Brother Branham said, when I was studying the first seal, I was reading this book and that book and trying to put it together. He said, suddenly he came. And he said, and he opened the first seal. He said, it was contrary to everything I believed. And when he finished the first seal, he said, I don't know what the second seal is, but I know the one who opened the first seal will open the second one. You see, it was not a man. It was Almighty God coming and breaking open those seals, amen, and opened up all the mysteries that lay there to bring the bride into her condition to be changed from glory unto glory. Now, when in Revelation 10, now remember, you know, Brother Brent said Revelation 10 is the seventh seal, right? Yes. Now, in Revelation 10, he steps forth with an open book. He was the Lamb in Revelation 5. And the lamb becomes a lion in Revelation 10. And Brother Branham said that the devil is an impersonator, a perverter. And isn't it strange? I don't think it is strange to us. That the Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the roaring lion, the original one, is in Revelation 10. Which means the devil is an impersonator of Revelation 10. And that's how he devours the people, making you believe strange things. But now I want you to notice, that was an open book. And when John took the book to eat it, though it was an open book, the thunders were sealed. That which means when you ate that book, it's an open book, but the thunders are sealed. And if you've eaten that book with the thunders sealed inside of you, there's only one place where it can open, that's inside you. It's not going to come from some other man. Amen. Right inside of you, those thunders are going to open up. Amen. Christ is going to become flesh in you again. God and His Word is becoming one in the bride. Now what has happened is, a lot of people talk about the open book. And for them, the open book is God sent us a prophet. Water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. The standards of the message, how to dress and whatever, which is all fine, it's wonderful. But that's not the message. The message makes you do that. But that's not the message. The message is the revelation of the Word of God. The message is, I in you, you in me, and we are one. That's the message. Amen. And when that message becomes alive in you, then it begins to bring the outside into subjection. Amen. Praise His holy name. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, when we talk about the coming of the Lord, we have this idea which we heard in our denominational churches, which filtered into the message of the hour. Because most of the people that came into the message was from some church somewhere. There had to be some Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, whatever. But everybody came from some kind of organization. And when they came from that kind of organization, they had this organizational spirit. And they began to preach the coming of the Lord like it was in the Pentecostal churches. Which means they were looking for a physical Jesus to return. But that was not the promise. God never promised that. Amen. And you can pick that up in the scriptures from the types and shadows and everything. That was not the promise. So what happened is they got stuck. And when you begin to unveil or to speak about these things, and they get themselves into a corner and they don't know what to do. And then they tell you, well, you must stay with the basics. You know what's the basics? The opening of the seals. That's the simplicity of God. That's basics. Now, in Revelation 10, the Bible says the mighty angel came down and he put one foot in the sea, the other foot on the earth. And that's not the Indian Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean or the Sea of Japan and the land being America or South Africa. No, no, that's not what it is. The book of Revelation is a book of symbols. When you read Revelation 5, don't imagine in your mind that there is a literal throne and somebody is literally sitting there and in his hand there is a literal book like this and nobody's worthy to take it. And then you see a literal lamb going there on his four legs to take the book. No, no, no. It's just symbolic. It's showing God in His different offices as the Redeemer, as the judge. Amen. As the revealer of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of the people. And there he is in all of his glory, declaring himself to the people. But don't take this book of Revelation and try to figure it out in the natural. And so when he said, one foot on the land, one foot on the sea. So what does it mean then? Well, you'll have to look in the Bible as God puts it into the scriptures. In Revelation 13, the Bible says, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Then it said, I saw another beast come up from the earth with horns like a lamb, but he spake like a dragon. So two beasts, one coming from the sea, one coming from the earth. And those two beasts had the power to seduce and deceive the bride if it were possible. And God, knowing the human frailties of our being, so what he did was, he came down and he put his feet upon those beasts. Amen. On the beast that came up on the sea, which is a Catholicism. And the other one, which is Pentecostalism, because that came from America. And those were the powers that were going to subdue and try to deceive the bride if it were possible. But when he came down, he put his feet upon them with an open book in his hand. And he made his enemies his footstools. And now he tells the bride, come and take the book. Take the book, eat the book. Which is why this bride cannot be deceived. She will never be deceived. Amen. She's the elect lady. The wife of the Almighty God. And as our brother Joseph so ably preached this morning. Amen. And he said the bride is married. And God had to use a marriage officer. And the marriage officer was Brother Branham. And he said one day, I no longer call you church. I call you bride. Amen. He said, you have the wedding band of unmerited grace. Amen. And you have your marriage certificate, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. Married. And we are married to him. Then what have we to fear? Christ is with us today. Praise his holy name. Amen. Now, in order to know how he came, we have to know God.
That's right.
If you don't know God, if you don't know his personality, if you don't know his word, how are you going to know whether he came or not? You see, because we will never know how God came if we don't know him. To many, he's just an imaginary person who exists in our minds. Like you think about Hoffman's Head of Christ or something like that, and you think, well, that's God. God is not a figment of our imagination. When it came to the photo, Brother Bram said, that's the nearest thing. But there wasn't him. To others, he's a God of history. Just rejoicing in what he has done in the past. But forgetting to see what he is doing among us today. And as we all know, before the beginning, God was the self-existing God, Elohim. He lived all by himself. Amen. The only time he became God was when he created angels. Because there was nobody to call him God, nobody to worship him. So when he made the angels, he became God, from Elohim to God. And when he started creating in Genesis chapter 1, he did not do it as Elohim. But he did it as the Logos, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen. But remember, Elohim was before the beginning. So God actually gave birth to himself. Took upon himself the form of theophany. And he began as King Theophany to speak the words into existence. And I want to thank God that I was there, right there rejoicing as God was speaking the words into existence. I didn't know it. Amen. But this prophet said it. Amen. Job never knew it, and God had to remind him, where were you? What's wrong with you? Who has darkened your counsel? Why are you so miserable? Why are you finding faults? Can't you see who you are? Where were you when I was speaking the words into existence? The seven church ages only received a portion of the word. That's why the rapture could not take place in that time. The word has to come in its completeness, and only then can the promise for the hour be fulfilled. The word must come in its completeness, in its entirety, because having a portion is not going to bring on the body change. Many men have great ministries. Even in the message, many great ministers in this message. I think the messages produce some of the finest ministers. Amen. In the denominational world, great ministers, but there was only one who had a body-changing message. And that's what we are resting on today. And we are not echoing our own sentiments or trying to bring our own ideas. Amen. We are trying to work according to the music sheet. And as the music is going octave higher, we go with the music sheet. Amen. We get into the spirit of the director, the composer, and make sure that we are moving in step with that word of God. Amen. If it goes a step higher, we go a step higher. We're not going to stand out there and say, you know what, I can't reach that pitch. You better get up there. Amen. Because God made you in such a way that you will reach that pitch. Don't look at yourself and say, I can't do it. You can do it. Amen. Don't look at yourself and say, I'm finished. I'm hopeless. I'm done. The more you say that, the more you'll become like that. But see yourself the way that God made you. When God appeared to Gideon, and when God told him, you're a mighty man of valor, he said, nah, you're making a mistake. Not me. He said, I'm the least in my family. If God be with us, where are all the miracles? He said, not me, no. Mighty man of valor, forget it. What was God looking at? Not at Gideon's frailties, not at his physical condition or the fear that got a hold of them when the three powers had got together and taking up everything that they had. No, but God was looking at a predestinated seed in the heart of Gideon. Amen. The very name Gideon means one who chops trees, a tree fella. Amen. And he was the one who went with a shout, voice, and trumpet to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. Amazing how this man had to go into a war against 120,000 people, trained soldiers, and they were only 300. Outnumbered 400-1. They never took catapults and spears. No, their weapons of warfare was a trumpet, a water jug, and a lamp. Shout, voice, trumpet. And Gideon said, when I give the signal, amen, when I tell you it's about time, you set yourself up in three columns there, because there's three great things with the third pole, right? So there's three sections of them on the mountains out there, and the enemy's right up down there in the valley. And then Gideon said, when I give the signal, you just do exactly what I tell you to do. The lamp is inside the earthen vessel, the water jug. And the only time that light will be able to shine is if the water jug breaks. Amen. So first thing, you break the water jug, let that light begin to shine. In other words, get your human instrumentality out of the way. This is not you, it's God. But if you keep standing in the way, you will never let that light shine. And remember, going behind the veil is not the badger skins out there. It's this veil here. Because behind this veil is where the light is at. And the only way it can shine forth is just break your will, break yourself down and say, oh God, let your light shine. Yes. And when the light shines, then blow the trumpet. Yes. And when the trumpet blows, the enemy is so confused they start killing themselves. Yes. See, Gideon went into his third pull. First pull, he had 32,000 people. Second pull, he had 10,000. Third pull at the water test, he only had 300. But you know what? He said, I am not this man of valor you are seeing. Amen. In other words, what did God see in Gideon? His father was an idol worshiper. If we had to put it down today, he was an Irish Catholic. Babylonian. Amen. An alcoholic too. How could you call me? No, you're the one. Why? Because God looked beyond the flesh and saw something there in Gideon. And he knew that Gideon would obey. He knew that Gideon would believe. He knew that Gideon would say, would do whatever he told him to do without question. He never asked God, how am I going to go with 300 against 120,000? What do you mean a trumpet and a water jug and a lamp? He never asked no questions. He did exactly what God told him to do. Maybe he didn't understand everything, but he believed everything. That's this bride today. He may not understand everything. We don't, but we believe everything. Amen. Amen. And we just want to apply that word over and over and over again. Now, if you notice, in the church ages, in Revelation 2:5, he said, I will come unto thee, the Ephesian church age. I will come unto thee quickly. That's future tense. Right? Revelation 2:16, he said, repent or I will come unto thee quickly. That's future tense. Revelation 2:25, he said, hold fast till I come. Future. Revelation 3:3, I will come on thee as a thief. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Watch, to all those church ages, it was future tense. But when it came to Laodicea, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Not behold, I come quickly. Not hold fast till I come, but I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Which means he came down. Knocking at the door to call you out of Laodicea. To come up a little higher. Amen. For you to come out of the seventh into the eighth so that God could bring you into the ushering of a new day. Like we heard this morning. So through the church ages it was always future tense. But at the end of the Laodicean church age it was, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Which means he has come. We can't argue with scriptures. You might try and argue with this and that and the other, but you can't argue with the word. He said, behold, I stand at the door, not Laodicean church age. So how do we get out of that? You can't. Which means he has come. And the people have missed him. You know why? Because they're looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for a physical Jesus. But they don't realize that he's here in word form, just as he promised. The prophet said, we are married to him already. So how are you going to be married to him if he's not here? We're just going to the marriage supper. Waiting for the reception. Amen. And the rapture takes us there. Praise his holy name. So there's no way that you can be married to somebody that's not there. You can't have a proxy. You can't get married in absentia. Yeah, my two sons here, Marion and Michelle, when they did the weddings for them in Zimbabwe. And I know their wives were there. And they were there, but they were not waiting for Marion, and Michelle was somewhere else, and we were doing the vows. You know, no, they were there. So he has to be here. In the form of the Word. Did not Brother Branham say, we are married to the Word? That's what he said. We married to the Word. The Word is your husband. And if the Word is your husband, you will be submissive to your husband. Which means you will do what the Word tells you to do. And you'll believe what the Word is saying. You're not going to argue with that. You're not going to say, but you know what, somebody else said it like this. No, no, forget about what somebody else said. One of the greatest preachers in the Bible was the serpent. Brother Branham called him Reverend Mr. Serpent. You know what, there's so much of witchcraft behind the pulpits. And I'm saying that even in the message of the hour, witches and wizards. And you know what? When somebody is preaching something and catches the people's attention, you know what they use? What they use? They say they were spellbound. You know who cast spells? Witches and wizards. Standing behind the pulpit. And then you wonder something about how could they even believe things like that? I mean, it's totally wrong. Can't they see it? How can they see it when a spell is being cast over them? Witches and wizards, witchcraft in the message of the hour. Amen. But the seventh seal is open. The mighty angel is here. Christ is in his bride. United you with the Word. You and the Word have become one, and you are inseparable. Amen. You are in my hand, he said, nobody can take you out. Let's read a couple of quotes here. Invisible Union. He said, now, so to be married to the second Adam Christ, the Word, you must separate yourself by death from your first denominational husband. Because there isn't a one of them that can take all the Word of God. Now let me emphasize this. Notice now. So to be married to the second Adam Christ, the Word. You must separate yourself by death from your first denominational husband. Because there isn't one of them that can take all the Word of God. Excuse me. Now, that's not because you came out of Assemblies of God like myself. Or the full gospel church, or the Catholics, or the Anglicans. That's not what it is. By nature, we were married to a system. And I'm saying to you, if I may say this under inspiration, that people in the message of the hour are married to denominational husbands. You say, but that's quite strong. I know it is. But we know what we're talking about. Because a denomination is not a church out there in the corner with a whole group of people with headquarters somewhere. A denomination is just two people. One to lead, another to follow. That's a denomination. So when people take the message of the hour and make it say something it isn't saying, and they start heaping people unto themselves and make it seem to you that they're the only ones who got it, it's a denomination. If I may say it stronger, it's a cult. Because we're not under human leadership. This is not a man. This is the Almighty God that has stepped from glory. As our brother said this morning, he broke out of that heavenly dimension. There was silence in heaven because he was crossing dimensions. Amen. He said to the living creatures, hold your worship for a while. I'm going to visit my bride. Amen. I'm going down to the earth. Amen. You hold your worship. They're going to worship me now. You see where we at? You see what the seventh seal is all about? The person of Christ becoming flesh in your flesh. The word unveiled today becoming a reality in your soul. It's not just some kind of, you know, imaginary thing like, okay, this one said it like this and that one said it like that and so forth. And, you know, let me just say this. A great teacher in the message one day who didn't believe the seventh seal was open, so on like that. And then he had a talk with me in 1986. And I went to his home and he began to speak to me and he told me, I don't want to come to your church for three reasons. I said, why? He said, third pole, seventh seal, seven thunders. I said, oh, okay. But then he left our church and he was going to a denominational church. I said, well, how many differences you have with the denominational church? I said, don't tell me, I'll tell you. I said, so for three differences you have with me or my ministry, you want to go to a denominational church? I said, I don't understand that. I said, what's your problem with the seven thunders? He said, it's revealed but not uttered. I said, okay. I said, okay, revealed. I said, then what was revealed? He said, no, Brother Branham revealed it was a secret. I said, I didn't need Brother Branham to tell me it's a secret. The Bible already told me it's a secret. And then I told him, I said, my precious brother, I said, according to the Bible, the seven thunders had already uttered 2,000 years ago. But what was uttered was sealed. And now we needed the seals to break to reveal what had uttered. You know what he told me? He said, that's too simple. I said before God, he told me that's too simple. I said, then what are you looking for? What are we looking for? What has God been doing among us today? Let's put away our private interpretations, our pet doctrines, our little ideas, our little personality cults that we have. Let's put them aside. Let's embrace this word in all of its entirety. And let's believe what God has achieved in this hour. And take everything that God has spoken and just believe what He said. Is that difficult for you to do? So when he called, knocking at the door in Revelation 3:20, what called you out? Was the message, right? So that was the knock on your door. The message of the hour came and called you out, and you are supping with him and he with you. And he told you, don't hang around here. Don't hang around this Laodicean. He said, just come up hither. Come a little higher. Let me show you things that you've never seen before. Let me open the door for you. Let me show you things that ought to be. Let me show you great things that theologians are struggling and battling to see. And God has given us a privilege, a great honor, that even Brother Branham was trying to read the books of theologians to understand what those seven seals were in Revelation 6 through 10. Amen. But no theologian was able to explain anything. And Brother Branham said, when he came down, everything he spoke was contrary to everything I read before. Forgive me for saying that about the brother that was a teacher. I just feel checked in my spirit. I shouldn't have said that. But just forgive me. On page 27, Invisible Union, he said, you say I'm a church member. He said, so was Cain. So was Eve. The Bible predicts in the last days that the Laodicea will be the same. Notice, Laodicea will be the same. Let the Holy Spirit search your conscience And you will agree with Daniel 5:12 when the queen came in before Belshazzar and said she found out that there was a prophet. Daniel was among them and he was a dissolver of doubts. Let's hold that for a while. Because when Brother Branham spoke about the seventh seal, and he spoke about the threefold purpose of it, and so on, and then he said the third one was in an unknown tongue. I looked for the interpretation. He said, I didn't see it. Amen. He said, just went bang, 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 seven thunders. Then he said, listen carefully. He said the Gentile dispensation came in under tongues and it will go out the same. Well, let me tell you, that is not the gift of tongues the Pentecostals had. Did you ever consider what the handwriting on the wall was? Did you think it was Hebrew? If it was Hebrew, there would have been a lot of interpreters. Do you think it was English? It wasn't English. You think God speaks English? Do you think he gave Moses to write the Bible? He was speaking to him in English or Hebrew, Aramaic? No, no, no. Amen. Moses was catching God's thoughts. And he was writing it because God is not a speaker of an English language or any other language. We can fight about the major languages in our country, which is the right one. Forget about it. God is not that way. So that handwriting on the wall was not any earthly language. And notice that handwriting on the wall could only be interpreted by a major prophet. So where does it put gift of tongues? If you think Brother Branham was saying it, Gentile dispensation came under tongues, goes out in the same, and that's what the Pentecost, no, 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 that's not it. It came in under the tongues which only a prophet could unveil. It'll go out the same tongues that only the prophet could unveil. Amen. The seven thunders was a mystery. Nobody knew it. The opening of the seventh seal was hidden from everybody. Amen. The only one who could reveal it would be a prophet. Not anybody else. Just a prophet will be able to do that. And watch what he said in the Church Age book. What was in those thunders, no one knows. But we need to know. And it will take a prophet to get the revelation, because God has no other way of bringing out his scriptural revelations except by a prophet. Which means when a minister tries to establish himself and say, I'm the one, I got it. And then he calls this one, let me come and preach for you, let me do this, let me do that. There's something wrong with that man. Amen. This is not a time for personalities. Because God has a fivefold ministry all over the earth. And he uses the ministry in that way, not for them to raise themselves up as some kind of personality, but God is using them to bring the word to the bride in their area. So what was in those thunders? He said, no one knows, but we need to know. And it will take a prophet. Period. Not a prophet giving it to another man and that man says, I'm the man for South Africa. Or I'm the man for Africa. I'm the man for the world. Amen. Nobody else knows what the seventh seal is. You got to get it from us. The seven thunders was revelation given to me. I got to give it out to everybody. That's Reverend Mr. Serpent.
Yeah.
God don't work that way. What those seven thunders is, nobody knows, but we need to know, and it will take a prophet to get the revelation. And if I may just put it very briefly in a nutshell, the seven thunders is the message of the hour. That's all it is. It's the message of the hour that's been quickened. The supernatural element that got a hold of that word and quickened it to your soul. That's what those thunders are. Don't scratch your head and think, I wonder what it is. Brother brother and sister, when you come to the house of God and God is ministering to you, those seven thunders are just uttering the voices. That's the word of God being made plain to you. We are married to the word. But in order to be married to the word, we have to be dead to our denominational husband. Amen. We are faithful to our real husband in this day, which is the word of God. How long have I been preaching?
We're not sure. We're in three.
Okay. Sorry, I'm an old man. I get tired a little bit. All right. In Genesis 18 and verse number 1, I just want to bring those two, the first and second coming. And like I said yesterday, we need to be able to discern and to see the appearing and the coming of Christ and to see the things that Brother Branham said in 1962. He said, we have already had his appearing. He said, we're waiting for his coming. Amen. So you'll be able, he said, there's a difference between the appearing and the coming. So we need to understand that. Notice in Genesis 18 verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, my Lord! Capital L, Elohim. My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. I was reading or listening to a tape, Jehovah Jireh, a few months ago. And something Brother Branham said, he said, when Abraham saw three, he said, my Lord, one. He said, when Lot saw two, he said, my Lord's. So which means two Lords is Lot's doctrine. One Lord is Abraham's doctrine. So notice, we notice here, the Lord appeared unto him. This is the first coming, which is physical. Because when he came, everyone saw Elohim in human flesh, walking with Michael and Gabriel, as Brother Branham said, and walking towards the tent with Abraham. He came walking in full view of the public. So the first coming was a public show. Though they did not really know who he was, but they had seen him. Abraham recognized him. Not in the flesh, but by divine revelation. And Elohim sat under the oak tree, which means he was in public view. Later he stood with his back to the tent, still in public view, using the ministry of the Son of Man, discerning the heart of Sarah, still in public view. And if there were cats and dogs and cows and whatever, they all saw him. That was his first coming. But he promised in verse number 10. He said, surely I will return. So this Elohim that appeared in Genesis 18:1 says in verse number 10, I will return. There's a second coming. I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And what did he say? And Sarah. Amen. And Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. Which means the second coming was a bride coming. Notice, surely I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door. This bride heard it. And she says, laughed under her sleeve, Brother Branham said. She didn't laugh out loudly. But she laughed under her sleeve, which was not really a laugh, but it was a kind of disbelief. How could this thing happen to me? Why me? How could it be me? Who am I? Why would he come to me? We have those kind of questions, don't we? But it comes by the predestinated will of God. Amen. Now, you know these things. I preached these things many, many, many years ago. Notice, surely I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Brother Branham said the time of life is 28 days. He said because a woman goes into a cycle every 28 days. The moon goes around the earth 28 days and becomes a new moon. And the moon is a type of the church. Amen. So I don't think it was a coincidence that the cloud hung in the sky for 28 minutes. Neither was it a coincidence that it appeared on the 28th of February. Neither was it a coincidence that it appeared in Life magazine. Not in the Reader's Digest, not in Time, but in Life magazine, because it is the time of life for the bride. Which means the seventh seal brought you into a pregnancy. Amen. Which means you have now received the word, and not only that, but you are pregnated with a seed child of this hour. That's a quote, by the way. That we are pregnated with a seed child for this hour. So notice, which means when we come to the silence of the seventh seal, which by God's grace we will speak on it tomorrow, the silence of the seventh seal. But when you come to these things, you begin to understand that something is happening. Sometimes you don't understand it. It's good that you don't. But God is doing something. A change is taking place. Your thinking is different. Amen. All these things are happening. Your diet is different. But God has been doing something great in your life. Now, God made the promise, surely I will return. Second coming. Amen. And he said, and Sarah's going to have a son. And when he made the promise to Abraham, in the period of time, he began to reveal the mysteries. Can I hide anything from Abraham, seeing that he's going to inherit the whole earth? You mean God's going to hide anything from you and I? He can't do that. Gave them the sign of the Messiah. He brought down the sins of Sodom. There was intercession being made. When intercession was actually over, Abraham was trying to make intercession. There was a ministry to the nominal church. Billy Graham, Oral Roberts. Two angels went out there. Souls in prison now. The oncoming storms of judgment. The world is falling apart. The restoration of the bride. All these things were happening. And notice what the Bible says in Genesis 21, verse number 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. So this is the second coming. And the second coming was in Sarah's tent. Amen. And notice, the second coming was for the changing of the body. To change the atoms. You know, let me just read this quote. I was just going through it this afternoon. I normally preach an hour and 15. I don't know how long I've been. But page 286 of the Church Age book, watch Brother Branham saying, The great shepherd is calling his sheep by name. Notice, the great shepherd is calling his sheep by name. And remember, Brother Branham said, your name in the book is not Armand Neville or Lee Vail and such and such, but the mystery goes forth. You by faith catch that mystery. That's God calling your name, right? So the great shepherd is calling his sheep by name. He said the creative voice of God is calling them from the dust. Yes. What dust? Right. Not Dan Whitbank or Newcastle or the graves out there. No. No. He said God is calling them from the dust or changing the atoms. Amen. Notice, even though they had not fallen asleep. In other words, he's saying, this is not when you die. He said, it is the rapture. It is the great marriage supper of the Lamb and his bride. In other words, God is beginning to change you right now. Amen. From glory to glory, he's changing you. And if you notice, saints, this second coming of Elohim to Sarah was not a public show. There was no dogs and cats and cows and servants and whatever that ever saw him. He came in the secret to the tent. Visited Sarah with the promise for that hour. And something took place. Amen. What happened there, nobody knows. Sarah couldn't explain it. But there was a manifestation. Right in her, something had taken place. Amen. And then all the atoms began to change. While she was still living, while Abraham was living, the atoms changed. They were looking young again. And Brother Branham was saying how Abraham was going through his photo album because he saw this little girl sleeping next to him there. And she was so young and went back. He said, my, that's her when I married her. Amen. Amen. And she got so excited when she got up and said, my, this is my young Abraham. So God had done something which they didn't understand. But it was true. It was done whether they understood it or not. God did it. And God isn't waiting for you to understand. He's calling you to believe. And when you believe, all things are possible to you. God is going to do it. He promised it and it's done already. Of course the people saw Sarah. And they saw Abraham. What happened, Sarah? Not a public show. It's the third pull. It's a perfect secret. The devil knows nothing about it. Because if he knew, you'd have caused damage. Amen. This is Christ and the bride. But they noticed. After a few months, her walk changed. Her dressing changed. She had to wear bigger dresses now. Because she was pregnant. Another thing happened, her diet changed. Maybe she liked roast beef before, but now she just can't take roast beef anymore. Now she was feeling for something else. You see, the diet change was not what Sarah wanted. It was what Isaac wanted. Isaac inside was telling Sarah, get more vitamins. Get more sulfur. Get those things because you need it in this body. Amen. Amen. Because you got to bring forth a perfectly formed Christ. Amen. Not a deformed word, not half a word. You got to bring that complete word in your life. Amen. And God has changed our dressing too. He took away your denominational garments. Amen. Here was Adam in the Garden of Eden. Oh, he wanted to cover the shame of his nakedness. And he tried to figure out his own way to do that. So what did he do? He took some botany life. He took fig leaves and he made aprons. Aprons means he was covered right through. He was the first tailor. He sewed. He sewed those garments for himself and his wife. And even though he had those aprons, aprons on to cover the shame of his nakedness. Yet when God said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I was naked. Hey, but wait a minute. You got aprons on. I'm naked. Because anything that is man-made is nakedness. Your idea of this message is nakedness. Leaning to another man is nakedness. You got to take what this prophet said. Just believe everything he said. Whether you understand it or not, it doesn't matter. Just believe it with all your heart. So what did God do? He came down. And Brother Branham said God could not entrust this to an angel, not to any man. He had to come down and do it himself. So when he came down, what did he do? He took a limb. He killed the lamb, and what did he do? He unveiled the lamb. And he took the skin of the lamb, the unveiled lamb, and he veiled his son. There was God changing his dressing. And God has changed our dressing too. Amen. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. Amen. He took away my denominational garb, my own ideas, my pet doctrines. He took them away and he clothed me with the body word of the Son of Man. September 1962, Brother Branham was crying out, oh, that he will crown my ministry, that he will let me take the clothes of his word and dress his bride, that I might say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. 1962, he said that. He didn't have to say it again because in 63 it became a reality. The garment came. Amen. Your new clothes came. You don't have to tailor it. You don't have to trim it. It's predestinated to fit you exactly. Amen. When Eliezer took the garment to go and get Rebecca, when he went out there, he didn't say, well, you know what? This garment looks like a size 36. So I'll have to look for a girl about that size. No, 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 no. Amen. She was predestinated to fit that garment anyhow. Amen. And she had to make repairs here, repairs there. Take it to a dressmaker, sew this up and sew that up. No, nothing had to be sewn. It left exactly like that because the garment that Eliezer brought fitted her exactly. And the garment that Eliezer brought in this day fits you exactly. And if there's any trimming to do, don't trim the garment, trim yourself. Amen. You don't have to do weightless or banting. That we do for the other things, but to put this garment of God on, you don't need that kind of diet. Just stay with the word of God. God is here today to feed you with his word. Amen. So notice, brothers and sisters, Brother Branham was telling us these things and showing us what has been done in this generation. And I want you to notice, let me just close now. There was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And notice the Bible said not half an hour, but about the space of half an hour. And God's word is so specific and so to the point that we know exactly what he's saying in this generation. This means the bride has had a visitation. And he didn't come here today to tell you what a nice person you are. Amen. He came here to change your body. He came here to pregnate you with the seed child for this hour. He came here and he deposited that seed in there and he quickened it. So that when it began to germatize and that word was becoming flesh inside of you, it was not the works that you did, but is what he did for us. Let me close. Is it, dear God, we sit solemnly now. A Thanksgiving day it really is, Lord. I am grateful, Lord, to be living in this day. Watch, Brother Branham. I am grateful, Lord, to be living in this day. This is the greatest day. Paul the apostle longed to see this day. The great men of old longed to see it. The prophets longed to see it. They looked for this day. As our brother was saying this morning, if Paul was looking for this day and you are living in it, what kind of people ought we to be then? Where should we be? Scratching around the dirt? No. Amen. We are here today. God has called us under the opening of the seventh seal. And remember, the seventh seal is what called us bride. Is that right? That's the truth. The seventh seal has called you. The opening of the word, because that is the coming of Christ. And the second coming of Christ is a bride coming. He didn't come like he came the first time, like a public show, but he came in a private way, and he comes to the bride. He came and visited you in your tent. And he did unto you according to what he said. That's what he said. That's what he did. And God is not an Indian giver. He wouldn't tell you, he'd give you something and take it away. He gave it to you and that's it. Nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can preach it away from you. Like our brother said this morning, no theologian could even explain away the revelation that God has granted you. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a few moments. And let's make love to Him. I wonder if we could just raise our hands and sing, Lord, I love Him. I love Him. With all your heart, sing it to Him. This is a spiritual love affair between you and the Almighty God. If we had more time, we could go into the Scriptures and show the bride coming of Christ. And you know that's a quote, right? Brother Branham spoke about the bride coming of Christ. So please understand that. And if you only know, if you could only fully comprehend what God has done in this generation. Brother Branham said, if you could only see the grace of God, you'll go to some corner and you'll cry. Because it is His grace. God never came to condemn you. He might correct you, but He never came to condemn you. Those days when people blast you from behind the pulpit, those days are over. God is here today to tell you who you are. To bring you to your spiritual position. He's yet to heal you. Your body and your soul. He's here to change you. From glory to glory. He's changed your thinking. Amen. He's changed your dressing. He's changed your walk. And one of these days He's changed your body. And that's already happening inside of us. The atoms are changing already. This is the rapture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. Yes, I love. Let's raise our hands and sing it to Him. Because He first loved. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Oh, I love. gracious Heavenly Father. We just love you with all of our hearts. You are so good to us, Lord. Sometimes we wonder, what have we done to deserve what we have today? Oh God, we just appreciate you so much. And just thank you, Father, for the word that you brought in our day. That we could look at these things and, God, we don't marvel at it as the world does. But we see the fulfillment. The wonderful way in which you make it manifest in our personal lives. We love you, gracious Lord. And appreciate you so much and just thank you. That above everything you chose us, oh God. You could have chosen others. But you chose us because there was a seed placed in our hearts, oh God. That was the merits by which we are here today. Not by our own doings, oh God, but because of what you have done. May you bless your children tonight. I pray if I've said anything wrong, I'm so sorry, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. Don't want to get personal behind the pulpit. Say things that are going to hurt your spirit. If there's anything, Lord, just take it away. And may the truth of your word be established and embedded in the hearts of your children. Because we're living in such a reality, oh God, such a time today. And truly, there's never been a day like this. Be with us now, we pray. And bless us, gracious Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, I love you.
As the musicians come. How many love him this afternoon? I love him. Not my love, it's his love.
I love you.
Reflecting back to him. This afternoon. Such a beautiful word. Amen. Just a round of applause for the word. God bless you, Brother Steve. It was a masterpiece. We really, really appreciate how God has used you. He has used you in a very special manner. Have you heard that the seventh seal produced the pregnancy in the end time? Amen. A wife can never be pregnant by the husband in absentia. It means the husband has got to be present.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So that's why the seventh seal brought him down into this earth. Amen. We really, really appreciate everything. I think we are just going to... do you mind if we just rejoice just with three songs and wrap up the service with prayer? Hallelujah. When the fullness of the weight is restored in the camp, there's often shout in the camp. Hallelujah. I think we are the people that must rejoice upon the face of the earth to hear the things that we have heard. Amen. There are people everywhere, Brother Masuma. And those people have received the revelation of the seventh seal. And I am glad that I can say I am one of them. How many are glad to say I am one of them? Amen. If they can help us just to project it so that we can all sing it.
I can say I want.
We rejoice in this man. Hallelujah. And when the diet is not right, we don't rejoice. We call the preacher behind. Hallelujah. So we really appreciate Brother Joseph and Brother Steve. You have given us our diet. Sister Dipadi, if you can get to the mic, we are the evidence of the seven seals. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said the opening of the seals. Through that, God is gathering his subjects. The bride is not going to be gathered by signs and wonders. She will rally around the fullness of the weight. Amen. Are you happy with the weight? Amen. They were just telling me about a brother. All right, come with it, sister.
I am the evidence.
Yes.
Oh,
song so that everyone can wait for their turn. We'll do one Congolese song and thereafter we'll do a worshiping song. Brother Tinashe will come and wrap up in prayer and thereafter you will be dismissed. Amen. Are there any Congolese here? Oh, Dede Benis. Kitoko. Amen. Yes. Can we have it on?
Oh,
Yeah. Gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we come before your throne of grace tonight. We are so thankful in our hearts. We are so joyful and rejoicing at thy coming. Father, we see clearly now that your word is the absolute, that your word is our husband. Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't understand why we felt the way we were feeling. Lord Jesus Christ, why we felt like not eating certain type of food and going to certain type of places. But now we realize it's the influence of the pregnancy. Father, we are not ourselves anymore. We speak like Paul of old. It's no longer I that's living, but it's Christ that's living inside of me. Christ has been formed in the bride. Lord Jesus Christ, you told us through your prophet that the word is in the bride. As it was in Mary, our wombs are pregnant, Lord. There is no more room for any other seed. For the seed word of the seventh seal, Lord, has closed our womb from the husbands of this world and isms and doctrines of men. Father, we pray that you keep us pure. I pray that, Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts be turned to this truth, Lord, that we may not continue, Lord Jesus Christ, in the sinful way of this world. But Father, may we be convinced and concerned about this same revelation that has been given to the bride. May our gathering not be the gathering of vouchers, that after we have left this place, we go back to the vomit of this world. But Father, may we be transformed by the renewal of the mind. Dear Father, to be captivated by that sign that came on the mountain. Lord Jesus Christ, to become that which we are purposed for in this end time, Lord God Almighty. May we not lose any that has come to this convention, Lord. But Father, may they be a partaker of that divine nature. Oh God, so in the day we shall be changed, oh God, into our theophanies. Father, I may behold the same faces that I have been fellowshipping with this weekend, Almighty God. I pray a special blessing upon your sons and your daughters this afternoon. Almighty God, may they be kept, Lord, from the devourer, the lion that imitates, Father, the opening of the seal. Lord Jesus Christ, may they be veiled in the secret place, oh God, where they can behold the king in the king's chamber, where they speak with him face to face, and let their petitions known and they are answered, like Esther in the day of the destruction of Israel. I pray this evening time, Lord, I pray for a special blessing upon the minister's life. I pray that you bless our elder, oh God, that you keep him true, God. Father, as we see the time is spent and the day is long spent, Father, and many things distract your soldiers in this beaten path, I pray that he may be allowed, O God, in thy storehouse to dig deep his hand in the golden pot of that manna, Almighty Jesus Christ, that he may be of benefit to the bride for the days that's remaining before the rapture. I thank you, Father, for such a gathering of the eagles. I pray that you may provide the needs of your children. Satan, I adjure you by the mighty arguments of Calvary, even the second Calvary of 1963, that you lose your hold upon the lives of the elect of God this evening time. Whatever you have them bound by, whether it's sickness, confusion, mind battles, depression, you have no power upon this word. We speak that word, for that's the authority of the bride. I pray you be with us now, Lord, even as we shall leave, departing from this place. Guide and protect your children along the roads. We know the devil is on the highways trying to disturb your children. But we say, Satan, you have lost your grip. For these are the purchase of his blood. These have been redeemed. These have been restored. These are amateur gods. They know who they are. You have no place in their lives. Almighty God, I pray your grace over their lives. I pray for your mercy over the services that's ahead of us. We commit them in your hands, Lord. We are ready to hear from you. Keep our vessels clean from anything, Almighty God, that might want to contaminate us. May we meditate upon this word day and night, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Thank you.
Amen. It was a wonderful day. God bless you richly. Then thereafter you will be dismissed. It has been a pleasure and a privilege to have heard the word this afternoon. Just make sure that during the night, pray for tomorrow's meetings. We expect God to take us an octave higher. God bless you richly. Amen.
Wonderful day.